qui a you know, you hear the word over and over and over and over, and then you hear stuff that got put in just last week. And I have, over the years, I have kind of felt a little bad for Pilate. You know, I have. And it sounded like he kind of took a bum rap and wanted to let Jesus go. But you know what? There's a lot more to the story than all of that. Pilate was highly superstitious. And Pilate believed in God, gods, many gods. And there's a passage that says that that he added the blood of the the area that Jesus was from, the Galileans. He added the blood of the Galileans to their sacrifices. So I thought, well, he wasn't all good. But anyway, this last week, but the Bible tells us that God's ways are past finding out. And it's not just hard to find out. They're beyond finding out. And so I realize that something major is happening to us. And while people are labeling God, and they have him figured out as a Trinity, or they have him figured out as a today's modern oneness, or whatever they have him figured out as, they have no comprehension. There's nothing inside of them that tells them exactly who or what he is. And it was on TV, and they were showing this this expanse of the heavens and all of these the little stars and things that were shining, and it was endless. It was endless. It was more than what I could ever see, probably just by looking out at night and looking at the heavens. And here are they're spotted throughout the universe, all of these things that are created. And the things that exist, the things that we see, were created from nothing that exists. And which gives me an understanding of something. In the new heavens and the new earth and the new realm that we are going to be into, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual substance. And what we have, the temporal, is going to be destroyed. The heavens and the earth are going to melt, or they're going to, with a fervent heat, the Bible says. And so all of these things that we see now, before I really get into that, how big is he? And the thing is, God is so far beyond our comprehension that we do everything we can to try to describe him, and he's indescribable. And even though Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, that is not the extent of the Father. No. That is the expression of the image of the Father, the expressed image. And so, while we're sitting here, and that's why the Bible says, you shall make no graven image. Well, of course not. There's not any image that we can make that would in any way describe God. He's beyond all that. Pablo and I were talking about that the other day, and I thought, you know, we are coming to an area of revelation that we can't describe. And one of the problems that has always been, men have tried to describe, come up with. And and Jesus... Oh, this is another. So many things happen on a weekly basis. But he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But others err in parables. And I'm thinking, on which side are we? Is it given to know for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Or is it, are we the ones that are hearing it in parables, and which is which? And then it started to dawn on me. If you become a hearer of the word, a 24/7, if you become somebody that your life is being transformed until you are, all you want is God's word, you begin to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And we are. A lot of people are getting it in parables. When I was, I taught in a number of Sunday schools over the years, and mostly in Lutheran churches, and we taught the parables. And I taught the parables. And you know what they were? They were parables. There was no understanding. Now, guess where this little thing, he says, to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others are in parables. Guess where that is located? Dab center in the middle of where he says he gives a parable of the sower and then the explanation. Before he gives the explanation, he says that. And so here we are with the parable of the sower. And some of the seeds, which is the word of God, falls here and some falls there and whatever else. And you know what? Over the years, I've been any one of those grounds. You know, I've been on the thorny side, the rocky side, the wayside, wherever I've been there. But God in his mercy one day said, I want to turn you into something else. And that's what has been happening to us. And all of a sudden, I started to receive the parable. I wanted to know, what does it mean? It's a parable. What does it mean? The sower goes forth to sow the seed. And then Jesus, in the explanation, says, he's the sower. The seed is the word of God. Well, you know what? That didn't make a lot of sense at first. It never used to make sense at all. And now it's making lots of sense. Because God is giving to somebody in this hour to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But it only comes one way. It comes through the relationship with God's word. It doesn't come by sitting in the corner meditating and coming up with all kinds of weird ideas. It doesn't work that way. But anyway,
I think I'd trust Chuck to catch up more than Joanne anyway. So, you know, knowing the mysteries of the kingdom, you know, we think what that means, the natural mind thinks, what that means is you could express it just perfectly. You know, you know the mysteries of the kingdom, and so you'd be able to say the right words to, you know, to be able to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But maybe it's not like that. Maybe you know the mysteries of the kingdom in the same way that the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. You know? You don't know someone's voice by... Well, when you know someone's voice, it isn't that you can describe that voice so perfectly that anybody else could hear that description and say, oh, yeah, I know that voice because of the description. It doesn't work that way, you know. The way that you know a voice, the way that the sheep know the master's, the shepherd's voice, is, it's different. Now, You know, Keith was mentioning Pilate, and I feel bad for him too. I don't care if he did sacrifice that. I still feel bad for him. Yeah. And in the Gospel of John, it really expresses it. But you know, in that Gospel, when Jesus is talking to Pilate, he says, "I have come to bear." How's the phrase? "Come to bear witness to the truth, to those who are of the truth." Is that the way it goes? It's something like that. It's John 18:35 or so. So yes, that's right. "Those who are of the truth hear my voice." That's an interesting phrase. "Those who are of the truth hear my voice." And it's not that they're hearing his voice. It's not like they're understanding exactly what he's saying. They're just hearing his voice. The process is just, it's just different, you know. And you know, it's always been that in this church we are expecting a great ministry at the end. We called it the man-child ministry, or the, you know, whatever was going on. And I don't, you know, we're still expecting that. But when that day comes, what exactly are we going to be doing? Are we going to be saying things that will just perfectly lay it out so that it appeals to the natural mind? You know, I don't think so. I don't know what we're going to be doing. But it probably won't be that. It will probably, you know, if we're to follow in his steps, what we are going to be doing is saying things that people who are of the truth will respond to in some kind of way. You know, that's what the ministry will be. Going back to Pilate there in John, though, the poor guy, I think he really had an indication that something was happening here. We're talking about no ordinary person, you know. There was something special about Jesus, and oh, that man really would have wanted to let him free. Let him, you know, he didn't want to be the one responsible for having him crucified. But the kind of pressure that the Jews were putting on the man, boo. Now, we would have liked Pilate to have withstood that pressure and said, "No, I don't care what you do to me. I'm not going to be responsible for this man's death." You know, we would have liked that, and if that kind of pressure is put on me, it's certainly my hope that, and I guess expectation, that I would say, "No, put me up on the cross there too." You know, I don't know. That's what we would have, you know. I'm sure Pilate felt uneasy for the rest of his days, you know, after all of that happened. But anyway, when he was put to the test, despite the fact that the pressure was huge, he failed. You know, the man failed. And I feel bad for him on that account. You know. Well, I do. I feel bad for him. But fact is, he failed. So, and let that not be said about us. Let that not be said about us. Mm-hmm.
He had another little problem. And the problem was that before this began to happen, his wife told him, she says, "Don't have anything to do with this man." And I wonder...
He did listen, did he?
I wonder how much effect that had on him. She says, "I suffered many things in a dream because of him." anyway.
Okay. Well, good thing he failed, because we needed Jesus to die on that cross. So, hello. Oh, you don't know the end of Pilate. Anything could have happened. We don't know. It's just not in history. But anyway, the whole theme of being able to put it into concise words and just make it understood, and of course that's reasonable and right, and so a person has to accept what you're saying, it's not ever going to happen. And that's okay. I say, let's don't attempt to have that happen, because that's what the church did. That's why they had those big conferences and said, okay, this is what we believe. Ugh, just keep away from that. Let God do it. You know, we don't need to have it. Well, what exactly do you believe? Oh, I'll tell you the things I do believe, but I can't answer all of this, what this means. And that's okay, because he's just God. How can we expect to describe and understand and know what his plans and all that stuff are? He keeps creating and creating, and there's all these universes, and we with our little puny minds think we're smart enough to say, oh, this is what this means? I don't think so. And I'm not ever going to do that. And what will our ministry look like? I don't know, but I think it will look a lot like Jesus' ministry did, which was healing the sick, setting free those who were demon-possessed, feeding the hungry, all the things that we have, you know, visiting those in prison, all these things he has told us to do. Love, letting God's love show through, God's light show through, and then being really pretty unpopular with the church, you know, or the established church or whatever. That's pretty much what I think it's going to be like now. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. But I'm not looking for a great big bang. I'm looking for a starting to just be what Jesus was to others as much as I'm able, and then let him continue to do the work. So anyway, okay. Love you guys.
Amen to that. And, you know, Pilate was just a tool of God. Kind of like, a lot like Judas. I mean, you ever stop and think about that? It's kind of interesting, you know. Many times Jesus was able to walk through the midst of people who wanted to kill him. Never a hair on his head got disturbed. Yet alone, Jesus goes, makes a comment, and all of a sudden Jesus is hauled away. And we go, whoa, how bad a guy that was. And you go, really? A tool of the plan. Not so much. And we needed that, because this perfect sacrifice had to be sacrificed, otherwise it wouldn't have fulfilled. Something came to me today when Keith was talking about the setting, and I have these thoughts, and then I sit back and I go, I got to be the only one in here who hasn't figured this out yet. But I just tend to be too literal sometimes in listening to the Word, because I listen to it, then I try and sort of make sure I got it, and do that. That has to go through the reasoning part of the brain, and then I immediately go, well, that's not even, you know. But has anybody else ever thought of the parable about the seeds and the sower and the soil? Has anybody ever exchanged the word or the concept soil with heart? That occurred to me today. And I think it's significant because really, when we get back to saying, you know, how are we taking this in and how much impact does the word really have, it's really pointing back to what is the condition of the heart of the person who's listening? Is your heart steadfast, or is it just kind of on the, is your heart hardened, you're not going to hear it? I mean, Scripture tells us that, you know, the Lord did that often, harden someone's heart so they wouldn't see the revelation. So, I don't know. It occurred to me, when you talk about good soil, bad soil, you're really talking about open hearts, sincere hearts, pure hearts, deep hearts, committed hearts. And that sort of changed that setting a little bit for me. And took it out of the natural and growing things into the spiritual and letting the Spirit grow within you. Anyways, Charlie said something and talked about the man-child ministry. And, you know, I haven't thought about that concept in probably, well, 18 or whatever years it is, because I don't see that very well in the Scriptures. But the thing that occurred to me about that and what I'm going to go on about is I don't know how much we have to put on ourselves of what we have to do. In fact, I'll come back and say, all I have to do is have a heart for God and be open to what He's telling me. I don't know that my ministry is anything more than following the Word of God. And sometimes we get caught up in, I am going to do this. I am going to do that. I am going to be in this place. I am going to make these decisions. And for me, my strength comes back to the only thing I am going to do is listen to the Word of God and hear what He says. And I don't have any preconceived ideas of what I need to do, what I have to do. God will show me what that is. And I only say that not in any way trying to suggest what Charlie said was wrong, but more so an acknowledgement of the farther I go into the Word, the greater He is and the less I am, and the more that I continue to lift Him up and the more I continue to push myself down, I believe I get closer to the heart of God. And so when I hear people say, this is their plan, this is how they're going to react to whatever God does, I just go, well, and then God's going to have to place that action on my heart. You need to go speak to that one. Not, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go speak to someone about that. Unless God told you last night, you know. And it's just maybe more my continual walk of trying to line myself up with His will. One last kind of general thought about everything here. We are constantly being challenged every day, all of us at different levels in different ways. I mean, I know I am. And the challenge, you know, the cliche is it's good I'm in a valley and this is where I'm going to stand for God because that's when good things can happen. Versus, hey, things are going great, and I'm going to praise God. And everybody goes, well, yeah, Job, what a big deal that is. Not. You know, and Job's message to us is he was standing for God when he was in the valley. We're in the valley. We're in the valleys, and then we're in peaks. But, you know, we're being challenged. And the thing that is keeping me is my focus on the Word. And actually, I have to give God the glory and how much, you know, part of this is age and the natural, but how much more I am thinking with a clear mind towards the difference between natural and eternal life. You know, and I acknowledge it's easier at 60 than it is at 20. I mean, that's just flesh. But as I get older, I go, you know, this isn't as easy as I'd like it to be, and this is hard, and this is difficult, and yada, yada, yada. And I go, but what am I complaining about? Because this isn't really what I should be worried about. You know, so as I continue to run this race for God, to know his heart, it gets easier for me to point to eternal life, not to natural life. Yeah, and I find some comfort in that. So I'm sharing that. It's okay to wonder about the struggle, and it's okay to acknowledge it's a struggle, but it's important to pitch that back to the struggle is whatever God allows it to be, as long as you stay on the path to eternal life. And it'll be whatever it'll be, whatever he wants. Last night or the other night, I heard the scriptures are going, and I always put a little more credence on it when I'm kind of like sleeping, but then I sort of wake up, and then I'm in this kind of like twilight spot, and then something comes out, you know, and then I go, okay, you know, why did that just happen? So then he starts to, why? And I don't know where it is, and those of you who can do this, like you're reading the McDonald's menu, can probably help me, but I heard something to the effect, and of course I was just, it's like, you need to approach this as if you don't know anything. You know, and we have said that in different ways many times. So, I was awoken with that concept being, you know, going from somewhere over here to like right here. And what am I going to do with that? And all I'm going to do with that is share it with the body and say, continue to look at this as we don't know God's going to teach us. You know, just, and you know, you could, that takes many ways. You know, if you've got this preconceived idea, you heard this once upon a time, and you can't find it in the Word, then you got to discard it. If you think this is how it works because that makes everything fit, but you can't support that in Scripture, then you have to give that up. You know, and I'm not saying don't fully take in and embrace the revelation that God's given you, given us, but come to it as if you don't know anything and you're waiting on the revelation, not that you got the answer. And for me, that's hard. I don't want to be in a situation or a conversation where I think I could witness to someone who's ready, and you know they're ready, and I don't want to step out too much on me. You know, just my Corky's continual battle of, is this God or is this me? Is this God or is this me? I want to do what God, but I don't. But it was interesting. I haven't had one of those experiences in a while, but recently, come as if you don't know, and let me let you know.
That's a big one.
Now, anybody should be able to be faster than me, so. But that's why I sat in the front. But anyway, in that same parable, between the parables, when he says, you know, to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but others in parables, it says, and then it says, lest they should see with the eyes and hear with the ears and understand, and I should heal them. Well, anyway, I tell you, there's another major area of revelation that we're starting to come into. And Corky hit a lot of it right on the head. And that is that you can't, with a natural mind, understand spiritual things. to the natural man, the things of God are foolish. You can't. You can't do it logically. You can't do it. But people don't know that. And so you have this Jude 19 situation. Remember that one verse? One verse, that one of the shortest verses of any, says one of the says about the most of anything that I'm familiar with. It says, these are those who separate themselves. What do we have today? We have a separated church. Hopelessly separated. Over doctrinal issues that can't be resolved naturally. It can't be done. And so, and then it says, sensual. One word. Sensual. You know what? Just look up the word sensual. It means they are going by their human logic, their senses. And what do they have? A separated thing. And it says, and then it says the end of the verse, it says, and having not the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. I'm coming to a lot of conclusions as I listen and listen to the Scriptures. And one of the things that has to do with the title of the message that I'm bringing tonight. And what I'm calling it is, and then he preached. And then he preached. So that doesn't mean anything just by you hearing that. But I tell you what. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave blind eyes to the blind. He did all kinds of wonderful, miraculous things. But you know what? He said to his disciples, he said in the 6th chapter of John, he says, are you going to go away? I mean, a lot of people left and never walked with him again, the Bible said. Are you going to go away? And Peter made this profound statement. He said, where are we going to go? We hear you preach day after day after day after day, and you have the words of eternal life. Do you know what the signs and wonders are for? To preach the truth. And so Jesus preached as the Father told him. What was it? Truth, 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 truth. I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. He preached truth, 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 truth. Do you have it? You got truth? No. Let's try that again. Except they received a love for the truth, and that is a big issue. That's a big one. Because a lot of people don't want to even receive a love for the truth. That's what I made this statement a couple of times recently about this back to the Bible idea. I don't know of any situation yet that it happened. You know why? People can't go back to the Bible because they're already brainwashed. They're already programmed. They're already established. They already believe. Well, I believe this, and I believe that. And you know what? Corky hit it right on the head. Unless he hides it from the wise and the prudent, and who does he reveal it to? Let's forget the first word.
Something's a babe.
It's babes. But the second part of it is harder to understand yet. Sucklings. You know what a suckling knows? Nothing. You know what I mean? Those are the ones he reveals them to. And so what happens? And what Corky said that about, you know, that we have to approach him as we know nothing. That was one of the first revelations that started to come to me. I have been programmed and programmed and programmed for all of these years. You know what I actually know? Nothing. Is that hard? Is that hard, Charlie? Yeah. Pablo, is that hard? But you know what? That's the secret to eternal life. So what are you going to do? I know kind of what's going to happen. I was given that dream 50 years ago. I kind of know what's going to happen. All hell's going to break loose. And there are going to be a people that are going to be preaching some things that are going to make them unpopular with just about everybody. Indeed, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not going to make, if you're looking for a popularity area, that's probably not going to happen.
I just want to say, Corky, that you're, this is confirmation from the Spirit. Several years ago, that same thing occurred to me about the parable of the sower. And that's exactly what came to me by the Spirit, was that the soil was my heart. And to further that revelation, he factored time into it, which is kind of weird because it's the Spirit, but we live in the natural world and we have to deal with time. And he showed me that there are times, you know, during my life and during the course of my life where my heart is more open than other times, you know. Some days I feel evil and my heart is really hard, you know. And when I hear the word of God, the seeds just go blink, 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 you know, like off a rock. They can't get anywhere because my heart is wrong. But there's other times, you know, when my heart is real soft and tender and it's like the good soil, you know. And, you know, those days are good days because then the seed can go in the ground and take root and the roots can grow deeper, et cetera, et cetera. And that's pretty much what it's a process, you know. It's a process like a plant growing. And it happens from day to day. And that's how you got to deal with it, from day to day. But that exact same revelation, I don't know, I might have even got up and said something about it. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that you got it from me, but, you know, the same exact thing came to me, you know, when I was listening to that parable one day. You know, he said, Tim, the soil is your heart, and you need to keep that soil in good shape where the word can, you know, get into you and take root and change you like that. And the other point, that you mentioned about not knowing anything. Maybe it was a small demon or something that was given to me, but this was about maybe, I don't know, last year, I guess, maybe sometime, where, you know, I'd be listening to the Word of God, and it would be like, you know, my natural mind would jump up and say, hey, you know, how many thousands of times have you heard this stuff, you know? How come you're not getting it? I mean, if you haven't got it by the six zillionth time, what makes you think you're going to get it listening to it one more time, you know? My natural mind was making sense, you know? and my spirit just kind of jumped up, and, you know, and it was like I jumped up and I pointed at my natural mind and I said, hey! This is the first time I've ever heard this. You know, I mean, I go from now on, every time I turn on the Word of God and I listen to it, it's going to be the first time that I've ever heard this. I have never heard this before, and you need to be quiet because I want to listen. You know, really, I copped it too with myself. And I said, hey, no, I have never heard this before, and I don't care what you say, because I'm not listening to you, natural mind. I'm listening to him, you know. And it really helped to, you know, to focus my spirit. And I like feeling like that, too, every time I sit down. I mean, sometimes I joke about it, you know. I'll turn on the Word of God, and I'll say, wow, man, I wonder what he's going to say this time, you know. And, I mean, it's kind of funny to the natural, but to the spirit, my spirit's all charged up, and I really, really want to hear what he's saying. Not in the natural, but my spirit is hungry for food, you know. It wants to be fed and it wants to grow. But, I just had this other thing. It came to me last week at the end when Ken was ministering. I was kind of following along in the Word, and I happened to see this. And it was really late, though, and I don't think I probably should have got up then. But it's in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll just read it. Starting in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation, this is by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. All right, he's revealing the mystery. To him. Paul's not saying, well, I did a whole bunch of research and I went to Bible college for 100 years and now I figured it all out. You know, that ain't it. He's going by revelation. He made known unto me the mystery. It was revealed to him. He didn't study it. He didn't figure anything out. He just sat there and listened and it was told to him. I keep saying, man, you can gain an incredible amount of knowledge just by keeping your ears open. You don't have to think about stuff. You don't have to be smart. All you got to do is listen. Anybody can do that. Anyone. But, okay, verse 4, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know, and he's saying that there is a mystery of Christ, you know, but he wants people to say that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This stuff was not, you know, this is stuff that priests and kings have desired to look into and they haven't, you know. I mean, this is knowledge that has been kept from mankind until now. He wants to make the mystery known now. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. It's not supposed to be a mystery anymore. It's supposed to be revealed by the Spirit to us so that we can help the Spirit reveal it to other people. But anyway, let's see. Oh, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You know, this is all, I mean, this is all the Lord. I mean, whereof I was made a minister. I didn't study for it. I didn't get 100 degrees in theology and pass all kinds of tests. And, you know, I was made a minister like you are. According to the gift of grace. The gift of grace. I worked really hard to earn this grace, you know. No, he didn't. And you can't. You never can because it's unmerited favor. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. This is given unto him, like it's given unto you and me. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. He wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Again, he's acknowledging that there has been a mystery, but it's not supposed to be mysterious anymore, you know. And it's not because he's got it all figured out, you know. It's because the Spirit is revealing it to him, and he's trying to reveal it to us. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, might be known, here we are again, known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. But then, you know, he just goes on and on. And I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that the stuff that we're learning now has been hidden from the world, and it's been hidden from mankind, prophets and kings and so forth, guys that have really spent their lives, a lot of them, you know, trying to figure this out or get an inkling of it. And and here we are, you know, in the sand pits of hell, turning our CD players and going, this is the first time I've ever heard this, you know. And he's just revealing it to us. He's giving it to you. Why don't you take it? I mean, accept it graciously. You know, it's a gift. You haven't done anything to earn it. It's the time now, and you're here. So be like a little kid and just say yes.
Yeah, I was talking last week a little bit, and today Keith was saying a little bit. We're trying to explain to each other what God is, how He is, and explain to each other the things of God. You know, and we don't have words for it, or we can't make each other understand. But we shouldn't feel bad because the disciples, they didn't even understand the words of Jesus. It's not that the words are confusing or whatever, but you listen to it, it gets into your heart, and then later it's revealed. Okay, so only God can reveal to us the words from the Bible. We cannot reveal them to each other. You know, talking about our ministry or whatever. Before that, I think is going to happen. I believe we are going to lose interest in the things that are interesting for us right now. And I'm not saying that what we're interested in right now is evil, more of the devil. But I'm saying, I don't think we're going to find anything interesting or entertaining on TV or in the news or things, you know what I mean? And like, for in my example, you know, I like to fish and I like to hunt. And I don't picture myself not hunting or fishing right now, but I think and even if we lose interest, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. It's not going to mean the same. But, and I think I'm convinced that because of what God has done so far, that eventually we will only hunger for God's word. And I don't think we're going to be interested in anything, even things that little things. I think we are only, the time is coming when we are only going to be interested in God's word. And we are not going to want to fix our eyes on anything that is not God's word, and our ears on anything that is not God's word. And after that, I think we might be able to, you know, minister or whatever, you know, or help or some. And then when that happens, we're not going to hey, I don't watch TV. No, we tell them, you know, receive. I think I'm adding the word gift. You know, receive the love for the truth. I have always said gift, and I think I'm adding that. I don't think that's in the scripture, but it is a gift. The love for the truth. You know, it is a gift, and I don't know why I always said that. Anyways, but so we just need to, you know, pray to for other people that they receive a gift of the love for the love of the truth. And when that time comes, we just need to pray that they can, you know, take this word, and if they are of the truth, you know, they'll hear it. And like we've said several times, we're going to be very unpopular, very, very unpopular, you know, unless God has other plans, but...
I had something that I was going to read almost the whole chapter and da-da-da, and I sat there and it just kind of... So, at another time. But one thing that's been pressing ever since I came this morning was I kind of wanted to either pray or something because I know a lot is going on that you might say is negative in everybody's lives, physically, whatever. And so I think I'll just say a quick little prayer. Lord, let our eyes see what can be seen. And give us this faith, Lord, that sees that and sees beyond what we're going through. Lord, there are afflictions, there are sicknesses, there are financial burdens, Lord, all of that. And Lord, when I thought of that, what you brought to mind was how many times were people that were ministering right after Jesus, you know, Paul, how many times did he say he was close to death? But he never went there. Why? Because God wasn't done. He had friends who were almost unto death. He had people that were in sickness. And so whether we be in affliction, sickness, or near to death, let us have the faith to believe that we're not going anywhere till you're done with us. And amen. And you know, on that, I got to be vague for a while yet because I just don't feel the time's right necessarily. But this word has saved my life at this point. Because if I wasn't in this word, I wouldn't have seen the wake up that he gave me and responded. It would have been so easy to not respond. And but it's like we've come too far, and I don't want to lose it all, you know. And I wonder, too, I was just thinking when Pablo was saying, you know, we get up and we're not going to convince anyone, well, then why are we getting up? If we can hear it from the Word. And I really, true, I want to hear it from the Word first, most of all. But I hear you guys speaking what you've heard in the Word, and that affects me. And I've gotten stuff from it. And if I'm not quite sure, then I go and listen to the Word to see if it's confirmed. And most of the time, it's confirmed. So, you know, but I know that it's easy to get carried away with bringing, you know, when really, you know, the message is here, from the Word itself, you know. It really is. You know, a couple little things came. It's like, you know, there's the phrase, no man has seen God. I don't know, does it say and lived? And I thought, no imperfect man has seen God? You know? I mean, there's things that Jesus said that makes it sound like he saw his Father, you know, in whatever realm that is. That's the other thing. Can't, like, and that was a good subject that got brought today. Our natural minds can play all kinds of little games and get us thinking this and that, you know. And in this setting that I, and maybe it's because I need to have it confirmed more in my own heart and spirit. But I was reading something that, and it was given references back in Psalms and in Samuel. And I thought, I'm going to go back and read that because things just don't seem right, you know. And so I did, and I believe there's something coming, but I'll let it sit for now. But the other thing is, you know, I'm going to change this, the term that Keith has used, you know, about Frenchmen. And I'm going to say, can a million Jews have been wrong? Million Jews been wrong over 4,000 years? Yeah, because it's in the Scripture. They were wrong. They didn't see. They did exactly what the church has done in 2,000 years, and that is started thinking on their own. Started adding and making up, and pretty soon they can't recognize Christ. Just like the Jews couldn't recognize him, you know. And I tell you, it's like, it's got to be so important to know the Father and the Son. Because it's everywhere in the Scriptures. Well, I haven't seen everywhere yet, but it just keeps coming. Like Jim says, wasn't there the other day, but it is today. Because he's revealed it, something, you know, that gives another little, what would you say, confirmation. There's all these confirmations coming, you know, and still there's some things that are unexplainable yet, you know. And that's when you got to be okay to say, I don't know, like Corky says. I don't know. So I'm not going to proclaim it, you know, that part of it anyway. And I sat there and it was a confirmation to me when I heard, it's not good news, but when I heard, well, Joanne, where she's at, and when I heard what happened to Dominic, and then I heard one of your cars quit, Pablo, and then I hear about Charlotte and her family and Bonnie and every, you know, all the things, and still I'm sure you're still dealing with your sight, Jean. Yeah.
Yay.
Hey, one says, well, if you have to, pluck the other one out. You know? That's a tough thing. I've read that quite a few times and thought, oh, my goodness, I ain't there. I'm not there. But all of those, to me, are signs that we're on the right road. Amen. You know? And yeah, I forgot about Corky. I mean, challenges with work. And Susan has got probably still some physical challenges. I have some, you know. But it's just confirming that we're in God. And you know, Paul was in God. Was he free of all this stuff? You know, that's the other thing. For a long time, we thought, well, if we're really true Christians, we're never going to get sick, we're never going to get hurt, we're never going to be poor, we're always going to eat well. Baloney! That's not in the scripture. In fact, the opposite is there. It's almost a promise, you know. And so, every once in a while, I think we need to be awakened to that, you know, and say, hey, yeah, and I'm sure it's a lot of it's the devil coming at it, which God's allowing. That we just say, okay, God, we're going to rely on you. And you're either going to keep me in my affliction or you're going to get rid of it. One or the other. How can you lose that way, right? You got God keeping you or you got God taking it away. So, you know, it's a plus. I mean, I can see that right now. Tomorrow, maybe not, you know. But I think we need to hear that every once in a while. To encourage and enhance our and let God build faith in us, you know. And I see so many of you acknowledging that I know that's what he's going to do, you know. And he's doing it in me. So I don't know how I would, because I think it's going to be important to share what I was going to share. But it's like I can't call ahead and say, hey, I need a 15, 20 minute slot, you know. So. You know, whatever. Yeah, but so anyway, and the other problem is now I just realized I won't be here next Sunday, so it'll be a couple weeks, but that's all right. Yeah, so I, it's, yeah, and you know, one little confession. I wish that I wouldn't have got to the point where he had to give me a slap in the noggin or a wake up. You know what I mean? I wished it was, but that's probably who I am. And that's just the way it is, you know. The good part is I felt it, you know. And I didn't brush it off, you know, and say, it's not that big a deal. No, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal. So, and I'm feeling good so far in it, you know, and I want to be able to walk a little longer to know, to really maybe share more later. But, yeah, this is, and, you know, I was actually at a point here about a week and a half, or maybe it was even a few days ago, and I went, I'm just feeling so dull for hearing the word. And that kind of scared me, you know. I said, what's the deal, you know? And then I just kind of made an effort to sit and spend more time hearing and reading and just got renewed, you know, a little bit right away, you know? So that's what it's food. And evidently I wasn't eating the food right for a while, you know, or whatever. But you know what? That's good to see. And I just sat there and I said, you know, keep me humble. And this is what you're doing. You know, keep me humble. That's the best place we can be. So, you know, and when I said that prayer, that goes out to any of you out there that are listening too, because I'm sure you're having the same struggles we are at times and so forth. And it's probably even harder if they're out there kind of on an island by themselves, you know. I think we should always keep them in prayer. That the faith continues to grow in the Word and they stay in it. And I don't know, you know, I haven't heard much from Shelley lately, but I'm sure she's right there still, right? And I don't know about Tammy or whatever, but and I'm sure Steve Britton is. So just be encouraged, all you out there, because we appreciate your love and concern for us, and we are concerned for you. Amen.
Yeah, this week was a different week. You know, Dominic got hurt pretty bad, and then Candy's car, the engine blew up, apparently. And I was working in this job, without getting into details, but it was just one of those rare things that are complicated. But, you know, months ago, or maybe years ago, I would have been devastated about everything. And the job situation is like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain. But I don't want to sound like, I don't know. But it's like, almost nothing matters. You know? I don't want to be foolish because, you know, it's a car and it's my son's head and it's my job. But, you know, with the job, you know, God worked it out. And I almost want to tell the customers, you know, God is doing that, you don't even know. And then with Dominic, and then, you know, Candy called, and she's in a panic, but it's like, as soon as Candy called me, immediately I knew it was just fine. I kept working. You know, and I stay in touch with Candy, whatever. It's like, it's just, I'm thankful because without God, I would have acted differently to all these things. Yeah. And then when Candy, I came home, said, hey, so what's with the car? And she's like, didn't answer. So then I immediately knew that it was, and she said, you know, the motor or whatever, and I couldn't even believe myself. I just kept doing like flat tire. You know what I mean? And Will, you know, Will is. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm foolish about this thing. I don't. But I still have a job. I mean, I don't know, tomorrow or later. As of right now, I am capable of working. I can, you know, whatever it costs, God will supply or not. And Dominic is doing real well. He went to school next day, and when he got hurt, all girls especially, they were like freaking out, like, ah. But then he went the next day, and Dominic, she said, but they looked at him like they were looking at a ghost because he was just there and back, no blood, and walking around. So, you know, I'm not saying I'd rather not have Dominic get hurt. I'd rather have not my car break down, and I'd rather have nice and easy jobs. But we live in the world.
Right.
This is not heaven, you know. And you know, God says, don't put your heart where moth and rust destroys. You know, nothing is forever. No cars or jobs or family. But, you know, so, I mean, I would prefer that I wouldn't go through trials like this or whatever. But God, with all these, in quotation, horrible things, not really horrible, God is right there. And I'm amazed at myself, at my reaction and my peace through everything. And I just pray that God keeps me like this and gives me the strength to go through these things like this. And I also pray that He doesn't do this, you know. But if He does, just give me the strength, you know. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to, you know, but. If he does take my loved ones or whatever, just give me the strength, you know, and just I hope my kids are pray that they are in a place that they will have eternal life. Also, different subject. If we can, I would like to have a not me, but if the church could have a baptism this year, because Dominic and Anita have never been baptized. So if we somehow could put it together at some point, and, you know, as a church.
I just want to say, Pablo, that it does not sound foolish, and it does not, it is so edifying to hear that God is doing that in you. I totally get what you're saying. Anxiety, fear, worry, those are all things of the devil. So if God has done this thing where a situation happens and you have this peace, that is just exciting. And I experience that sometimes. Sometimes I get all anxious and nervous and worried. And my prayer is that I will always walk in that peace that has no understanding, because the peace that only God gives. And thank you for sharing that. That was really, really great, and I was glad to hear it.
Yeah, I was going to say, am I the only one that doesn't have any problems? I'm teasing. I just wanted to comment on Dominic. I was thinking maybe people would say something about this, but he went to a doctor, a lady doctor, and you know, he's got a gash, but you know what? You can't see it because of his hair. It's hidden behind the hair, so I didn't even see it. But anyway, so he went in, and Candy said his face was white as a sheet, you know, and he doesn't know either. But the doctor told him that if it would have been, 2 inches either way, it would have been devastating. It just happened to hit just right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Just right. He got a gash. He fell against something. At school.
At school.
And and so anyway, so this lady doctor is getting ready to put some staples in, you know, where it is and so forth, and he keeps making a statement. He says, well, either way, he says, I'm fine with God. Either way. And I asked Candy, I said, did she react? And she said, well, she just had a kind of funny look, but she didn't say anything. But he just kept saying, I'm okay with God. God's in this. Whatever happens, it's fine. And I thought, where did he get that from? Besides his father, he got it from the scriptures.
I sort of meant to say this, but I too many things. But, you know, scripture, as we get into the Word, the one thing the Word has really done in view of our recent conversation is it really comes against the teachings of the church. I mean, blessing pack and trials and tribulations never touch each other.
No.
Yet, you know, Pablo's testimony and hopefully others, you know, you the scriptures tell us, I mean, what was Job's blessing for being such a good man of the Lord? He allowed the devil to take it away. I mean, Abraham loved his son so much that God wanted to prove that he'd give it up. Paul, who had everything revealed to him, had a constant affliction. I mean, Scripture tells us that if you are in the Word, things are wonderful is not God's plan. I mean, because what the world will try and tell you is they'll try and minimize the devil to the point that he has no impact and you can just go out here and la-di-da. And because people, and I mean the people in the scriptures in the past, and because of us and how we are diligently seeking God with a good heart, we are going to be tested. And I'm pretty sure I can say that we are being tested. We continually are being tested. But It is what you do with the test. It's how you react to the challenge. There are days when it just doesn't matter to me. And then there are days when it really matters a lot and I'm not happy. You know? And those are the days when I go, you know, okay, so what's really wrong here? You know, am I going to get upset with God? I can't. I mean, I even if it flickers through the brain, I go, you know too much to really embrace that thought. Because, you know, God's got enough going on other than to make my life miserable here on earth. He really has got to worry about keeping other things going. He is not sitting there and doesn't have a plan to make Corky squirm. Even though it might seem that way, because he can do anything. So, you know, but even Christ was conflicted to the point, like, can you take this cup from me? You know, it's a condition of flesh that you are going to be in travail. You are going to be stressed and challenged. And it's really what you do with that challenge is how you walk with God. Can you say, you know, this isn't very fun. This isn't really easy. And you go, that's okay because this is what God wants. And I am going to be happy. I am going to be joyful that my Lord has this for me. Because through the trial and through the fire, he forms something better. You know, we are changed because of these things. I am not the same person. As Pablo said, if I didn't have the foundation of the scriptures that I have, I would not be able to handle the problems that the Lord not brings to me, but the problems that the enemy brings upon me and that I have to deal with. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, if this can happen to Job, if this can happen to Paul, if this can be a challenge for Christ, who am I to complain about whatever little thing comes my way? I mean, and if you sit there and say, you go through this and you go, I shouldn't even have this thought. This is so far from where I need to be. Because the minute you start saying, oh, woe is me, you're ignoring what you know. You're ignoring what you know. And, you know, the other day I got up and said a couple of those really bad things like, you know, we know a lot, so we're accountable for a lot. And, you know, we are. And you have that, and then all I do is I go, that's an example of God that I'm not there yet. That's a classic. I can look at that and go, you know, I'm still a work in progress, and Lord, I am a work in progress, and I'm on my knees, and I'm asking for forgiveness and looking for him to continue in me because I'm not finished yet. Woefully not finished yet. But in a strange way, the fact that I'm being tested means I'm in the right fight. You know, if you're zipping through life and you really don't have any trials and tribulations, knowing what I know, I'd be really fearful of my soul. I would. Yeah. If the enemy's not coming after you, he thinks he's got you. So if the enemy's coming after you, making your life difficult, he's not so sure. And that's the good thing of the bad stuff. But it is the good thing, and it is the key thing. We're talking about salvational things there. It's like, am I walking enough right with God that the enemy says he wants to mess with me? That's what I want. I want to be walking so right with God that the enemy wants me. Because if I'm not, the flip side is if I'm not walking right enough with God and he doesn't care enough because he thinks he already owns me, then my salvation's in trouble. And you have to expect the tribulations. And once they come, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to curse God or are you going to praise God? Scripture's pretty clear what you need to do. Anyways, it's not a woe is me that my life isn't what I want it to be. It is, I thank God for Him keeping me where it keeps me knowing I have to be going in this direction. I have testified before, at least to some, if I didn't have the trials that are in my life, I would not be saved. Because my life was on a path that I could have just been pretty happy and content, and the Lord wouldn't have messed with, the devil wouldn't have cared, because He knew I was not seeking God with my heart. I was lost. I needed, personally and me, not everybody, but I needed the trials and the tribulations to remind me of who I am and who God is. Because, as Ken said, that keeps you humble. And I need constantly to be reminded that I need to be kept humble, because otherwise I'll slip. And so it's not that I'm happy that I have these trials, but I don't curse them, because they are keeping me and keeping me on a path to keep my heart open for God, because that's the only way I can get off of and get out from under these trials.
Well, if it's any consolation, in the 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, it says, Peter says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then this is a strange thing. It says, knowing that these same afflictions are being accomplished. Is that a strange way to word it? These same afflictions, Corky, are being accomplished in your brethren that are throughout the world. And anyway, so be sober, be vigilant. You know what? Until deliverance came, there was nothing sober or vigilant about me as far as the devil is concerned. I wasn't even sure if he was real. So was that an act of God's mercy and grace? Yeah. And then, for those who want to be comfortable, there's a scripture that says, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So this ain't going. The soul inside is. And then one more thing. And somehow I remembered all of these thought patterns this morning, which is a miracle. In Hebrews 11, it begins by saying, faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then in verse 3, that's the one that we use a lot. And it says, through faith we understand. Well, just, you know, that the heavens, the worlds were formed by the word of God and so forth. But in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You know what I mean? Yep. By faith we understand. How many understand by faith? And then we get to this scripture that is brand new. It just came in just a few years ago. In Romans 10:17. Everybody should know that one and quote it by now. Faith comes by hearing. And that by the word of God. So what has been happening to you? And so what am I hearing out of Pablo? What am I hearing out of Corky? What am I hearing out of... What is happening to us? Faith. Faith. So he approaches us. It's like the car broke down. This happened, that happened, this, you know, and all of these things. And we're all saying these things. And I got in my... My sweetheart over here is suffering from a kind of an inherited condition. Her heart is weak, and she has water in her system, and we're trying to figure out what to do with it. And so anyway, but you know what? Guess what she wanted? And this is a challenge for Corky this morning, and whoever else thinks along these ways. She says, is there any way that I could have something over here that I could hear what's going on? She wanted me to turn my phone on. Well, my phone is a hopeless case. And turn it on, just leave it set here, turned on so she could turn hers on and listen to everything that was going on. And I thought, she could have come, but she coughs enough so she didn't want to interrupt everybody. That's who she is. So anyway, let's come up. So without the faith that comes by the hearing of God's word, God's not pleased.
What could I do?